This Claire's Matt and Kimber catch-up is for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Hey, podcasters. Claire's Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch-up, the one and only Dennis Cometti.
Oh, the one and only Pete Hellier for a laugh.
Oh, the one and only Lockie's lockdown quiz.
And, well, I've got nothing else. What should we put in our COVID-19 time capsule?
Spoken by the one and only Matt Dictinsky.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Clazy, Matt and Kimber. The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes, hang it on the wall. A work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti.
Jim, it's been a couple of weeks, mate. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Good, I'm feeling okay. How about you guys? Listening is sounding pretty good.
Hello. Yeah, although quite hard to hear you, so use your big booming commentary voice, Dan. Now, the two hardest working groups in the world right now are researchers looking for a COVID vaccine and the AFL board trying to work out how to get the season underway. Are we at these days?
Well, nobody quite knows. There's a lot of confidence around football, but this Friday, I've been talking to people who should know. I don't know. It's getting sort of complex for me. But a couple of people I spoke to yesterday talking about this Friday as a big day for footy because the National Cabinet is expected to relax social distancing requirements. Then next Monday, the Victorian Government's state of emergency expires, which means that unless the state of emergency is continued, the players will be able to train in groups. So up to 10 players can train, but without contact. Mm. And then the hope is that after a fortnight, the process will go to stage C, which equals full training, followed by the competition. But a bit of luck. They need a bit of luck, I think, to get them playing in June, mid-June, early June, some people are talking about now. That was the plan last Saturday, but in the interim, Victoria's had a spike in virus cases, so it follows the Victoria state of emergency isn't dead quite yet. So we should know on Monday, but by sort of Monday, it's going to be pubs will be dead, I think. I don't think there's any more life in them. The AFL strongly favours a fly-in, fly-out model. Now, here's the catch, really, even if it goes ahead. Of course, if one player tests positive, there's a strong likelihood the entire competition will grind to a halt.
Yep.
I mean, multiple teams on planes means multiple teams in quarantine, and then it's virtually impossible. So that's the state of play, I think. But, as I say, I'm not really sort of following it as closely as I should, simply because it changes daily, and the story is never the same thing from one 24-hour period to another. But speaking with people who would know yesterday, that's what they've told me.
So basically, watch this space, because it changes all the time. And Den, the other story that's come out in the football world yesterday, which I found quite heartbreaking, was the situation that Dean Laidley's in at the moment. I don't know what's going to happen on a criminal level, but you know the man. How did that affect you?
Well, interesting, because Dean actually played when I was coaching at West Perth. In fact, he played his first game for West Perth when I was the coach. And I don't think I've seen a tougher player play football. For his size, he was just quite remarkable, had so much spirit, so much guts. And I'm really sort of deflated to see that. Had no idea. In fact, I haven't spoken to Dean for probably 3 or 4 years. Last time I saw him was at an airport and we had a good chat. But it seems very sad just looking at it from an outsider's point of view. And hopefully he can get through this. I don't know anything about the charges against him either. So it's a bit of an unknown area. But the Dean Laidley I knew was a terrific young man. And he played footy, as I say, tough as anybody, and he was very small, very sort of slender when he started. He started, I think, at 17, 18, and he didn't take a backward step.
Yeah, a bit like the Ken Hunter of old from the Claremont days, mate, going to Carlton. Hey, Dan, what about those the Red Army at the Wildcats? They must be very sad losing Bryce Cotton and now Nick Kaye. Tough times.
Yeah, well, both of them had clauses in their contract, so we knew it was coming. I've got a bit to do with the Wildcats, as you know, and I don't think anyone was under an illusion once this struck that it would be difficult to keep one of those players, but to lose two, if that's going to be the case, I mean, that's not what the club needs. Although it's going to be a tough year, I would imagine, basketball for all the teams in the competition, because these situations now about taking players from home, not only in a competitive sense, but just because some may be reluctant to leave their home, say, in the United States now, and the money is not in our competition to lure them and make it a certainty. You know, they can quite easily make the same money, I would imagine, just playing lesser competitions in America.
And, Den, we know that these competitions, the NRL, the AFL, are all desperate to get back up and playing. And I guess, the you know, just briefly, how How do you think the fans are going to feel? I notice in Europe, a lot of the ultra fans for the Italian Serie A football league are saying, you know what, we don't want games played behind closed doors. We don't want this. How do you think fans would cope here?
Well, I think we've got a slightly different view of things. I think television would carry the day in terms of people would like to see games played on television. They'd like to see the competition reopen. But it can't be sort of the deciding factor. I mean, people in football, they have to talk this way with enthusiasm. They just need to be very careful and see the bigger picture. I certainly hope they go again. I mean, as soon as possible. That's my sort of lookout, simply because I'm a football man. But I think we need to do it with caution because, as I said, flying players around the country. I put it this way. I don't think the AFL, once a competition sort of, if they get into strife because of quarantines and what have you, and players get the virus, or at least one player gets the virus, I don't think then they'll have the heart to push on. I think that will be the end of the competition. Other questions like premierships and Brownlow medals, well, it doesn't matter much. I wouldn't think either should be awarded. That's just my view. So a lot of people think they should. I think it's such a hybrid now. This will always have an asterisk against it anyway this season.
Yeah, which always makes us think of wartime. You go, oh, these things were bad. Yeah. Cancel the footy season or cricket or whatever.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Dan, it's good to talk to you, mate. Are you keeping well, UNV?
Yes, no problems here. It's work as usual, really, because once you're retired, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Life doesn't change from day to day. Now I'm quite enjoying the sort of solitude. It's been fun, but not everyone is in that case, and I fully appreciate that.
Yeah, just not those great holidays. Hey, Dennis, all the best, mate.
I'll see you guys. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Pete Helly is back with a new series of How to Stay Married, Season 2, tonight, Channel 10, 8:30. Pete, good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, gang. How are we?
We're good, mate. Now, sometimes your character in the show comes across as a bit of an idiot, which is a worry, really, because you write the script. Are you cutting yourself any slack this season?
No, I think I'm going harder, in fact. Yes, big storyline is that Lisa's character, who's gone back into the world of publishing, gets a big opportunity to write a book, and it's called My Shit Husband, and she does it behind my back. So she's trying to collect information and, stuff for a book, without me knowing. And, it eventually all comes out and, but it's a lot of fun.
Pete, with great power comes great responsibility, as you know. And, the first season, of course, was a delightful romp through your trying to stay married, but under lockdown situations, under isolation, people are now going to be turning to this as if it was a documentary. What advice have you got?
Well, it's funny you say that about the documentary, because one of the big storylines in this is that my character Greg, all he wants to do, he's a simple man, and all he wants to do is to take his family on a cruise.
Oh dear!
Now, this was, it was very clear. This was obviously written last year, shot at the end of last year. It was. We didn't get any word out of China that this is going to happen. There was no... And so I haven't watched it since coronavirus has come out, so I don't know how it's aged.
Yeah.
the cruise ship references. I know we called the ship the Scandinavian Princess. They were pretty close.
Oh, dear. Nostradamus.
Yeah, I know. Which means, I think, Series 3, we catch coronavirus on the Scandinavian Princess and we end up in lockdown.
Terrific. Mate, as you know, with radio, one of the great things, it's almost like therapy for us. We can talk about elements of everyday life, including our relationships, on the radio the next day. You can sort of do it with this show, but just not the next day.
Yeah, there's a bit more of a waiting period with this, but you're absolutely right. There's a lot of things in this show that I think, families will find really relatable, whether it's your own marriage or dealing with, kids. There's an episode about sexting. You know, our daughter was, we catch her sexting, and there's even an episode about waiting around for the NBN guy to come. There's, an episode about trying to make an adult friend as an adult, which, is a tough thing to do.
Not easy.
Struggle with the idea of, no, it's not easy. And, it's kind of based on something that happened in real life. There's a new kind of dad in our school, and I was like, and he kind of was involved in one of the footy clubs, and I was like, oh, hey, this is awesome. And we got along really well, but the wives didn't get along that well. So I was like, oh, we can't hang out anymore.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I suppose, you know, we get that in life too, working in radio. Sometimes people will be sharing something with me and they go, oh, no, I don't want to tell you in case you use it on the radio. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be a jerk about it. But do you have friends that are nervous about telling you about moments in their marriage for fear of it being screened?
I suspect, to be honest, most people secretly want their stories told. I think all your friends would be like kind of quietly hoping you might be able to use. They might hope you might change the name. I mean, radio is a bit different because I think with TV and with scripted stuff, you can change enough details and all that where, you know, there's less fingerprints, there's less breadcrumbs, I think, in TV than with radio, perhaps. But I suspect I'm also get people telling me stuff, hoping that we use it in the show. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't.
All right, Pete, well, yeah, look forward to seeing the return of the show, season two of How to Stay Married Tonight on 10 at 8.30. Always good to catch up and pass on our best to your mate, Strawny at Collingwood. We're worried about his next contract.
I will do. He's back on Instagram, by the way. He's at Strawny59 on Instagram. So he's been taking questions from Gilly and Dylan Alcott and Pat Rafter and all kinds of people. So check him out. And he's back and causing havoc.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5. Rocky's Lockdown Quiz.
Alrighty, come on down, Claresy, Matt and Kimber. It's the Lockdown Quiz for a Tuesday. Question number one. A little bit of politics for you. Who is last Prime Minister to serve out a full government term in office? Who is the last Prime Minister to serve out a full government term in office? And no, Maddie, you can't buy a vowel.
Wow. God, that's a good question, Lockie.
Can he buy a Liberal?
Oh, thank you very much. You can buy a Liberal, maybe a Labor.
Okay.
Okay.
The true believers.
That was question number one in the lockdown quiz. Question number two, Claresy, let's head to the lockdown quiz's music man. Take it away, Mr. Chris Murphy.
Okay, thanks once again, Lockie. All right, folks, name this riff.
Told you it was an easy quiz.
Yay!
Three out of three for all of you coming our way.
I am not even confident I've got one yet.
Really?
No, not at all.
KC?
You like the hard quizzes, KC.
She certainly does.
No, I'm not. I am writing this all on the same notepad, Lockie. So what I've got here is this is my list of things to do. So amongst all of my email your tax guy, call back the specialist, those sorts of statements, I've also got just all of the last week's answers.
Yeah, and you've been going all right. What'd you get yesterday?
Two yesterday.
Yeah. Matt and I got
two
one
yesterday, but she did get in touch with her physiotherapist, so it was a win-win.
He actually does it next.
Yeah.
All right, so that was question number two. Name that riff.
Okay.
Question number three. Who am I dressed as? I am a fictional character in a video game. I first appeared in Donkey Kong under a different name that I am now. I am hot-headed. I like a certain type of peach. Red and blue are my colours. I have a twin brother and have appeared in more than 200 games. I run faster than Usain Bolt. Who am I dressed as today?
That's quick.
Tuesday.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right.
Matty would have played these games back in the day.
God, yeah, still do, buddy.
Last Wednesday. Yeah.
That's where I get all my material.
All right, let's go back to question number one. Who is the last Prime Minister to serve out a full government term in office? Matty, take it away.
I've got a feeling it was John Howard.
Claresy?
I've got Howard as well.
Kimber?
No, I completely botched it.
Kimber, come on.
Did you have an answer, Casey?
I put Kevin Rudd because I thought he might have done another term before Gillard took him, but I wasn't sure.
John Howard is correct.
Yay!
I think it was back in mid-2000 too.
That's such an indictment, isn't it?
Yes, terrible. How many PM since? Five or something?
Really nailing it.
Five PM since. Quite amazing. Really? Anyway, question number two, the Chris Murphy song. Do you want to play it, Claresy?
I'll play it again. Yeah, let's
Okay, thanks once again, Lockie. All right, folks, name this riff.
You know, Chris Murphy is live when he goes, oh, thanks very much once again, Lockie. He knew that he was going to have to play it the second time. Question number two. Survey says...
Classic Malcolm Young. AC/DC, you shook me all night long.
Yes,
you
baby.
You shook me all night long. Kimba, did you get that one?
I'll be back, Lockie.
Oh dear.
I put patience. It sounded the same as patience. Yeah.
Well, you don't normally hear that on the acoustic guitar.
Just a little patience. Mm. You know,
we're all needing patience. That right now, actually.
Yeah.
Kimber, face it.
I'm really doing well at this super dumbed down quiz that you've done, Lockie.
Now, you wrote Kevin Rudd again, didn't you?
All right, so 0 from 2 for Kim. I'm a little concerned. Have you had a none out of three in any of our quizzes over 2 weeks?
Yes, I got none.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Maybe it's my turn.
Who am I dressed as? Fictional character in a video game. First appeared in Donkey Kong under a different name. I'm hot-headed. I like a certain type of peach. Red and blue are my colours. I have a twin brother and appeared in more than 200 games. I run faster than Usain Bolt. Maddie. Who am I dressed as today?
Tony Gallardi?
Nice eyebrows.
Mario!
Mario is correct from Nintendo Games.
Yay.
Super Mario!
All right, I got one.
Yes.
Not completely ashamed yet.
And Tony Gallardi's his brother, so that's okay.
Yeah, Luigi. What was Mario's call sign, or what did he used to say, Manny? It's a me, Mario.
I think so. I can't actually remember that bit.
Okay.
But yeah, again, Tony Gallardi keeps coming to mind. Mm. Yeah.
Very nice job today, quizzes.
Don't lie, Lockie. I know you're trying to sweeten me up there.
Kimba, give it away. Don't bother coming back tomorrow. We'll see you two boys on Wednesday.
Thanks, brother. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning
on Mix 94.5. It's time for this, guys. Now, there is an introduction to what we're calling the COVID capsule.
Producer Jack, the dulcet tones.
I mean, the joy of a time capsule is that you can't take it back. So whatever daggy items you put in it many years ago, you have to face later that you thought were really cool.
Hey, don't you think when you do something like that, my old man put one. We put one together in the 70s in our house in Padstow Street in Carrot-up, and Dad stunk it underneath a circular barbecue he made out of bricks.
Okay.
And then, you know, the folks broke up, we moved out. I wonder whatever happened to it.
It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. Well, I believe the house has been demolished since. So wonder what happened to the time capsule. I never got
contacted. Probably still under there, but it might be under someone's rumpus room.
It might have sunk down under the games room.
Well, I know. I mean, I spoke yesterday the fact that I've become a local character called Baldy Black Gloves.
Yes, you did.
After Muzza, my mechanic, gave me some black gloves, which I love.
100 pairs.
So they're going in my time capsule, my black gloves.
The gloves are in.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, what are the things that we can put in the capsule that will really capture the time that we've spent over this period? I think I really loved Karis's idea on our Facebook page. She said chalk, because every parent has had to buy chalk in the last 8 weeks.
Yes.
Yep, to do the...
Everyone's given that a go.
Sweet rainbows out on the footpath out front.
Yeah, and I like Monique gave a great idea too. She said we should put in all the tickets from the gigs and the events that have been cancelled.
Ah, now you're doing
like what we would have been doing.
Isn't that a bit sad?
Yeah, it is.
It is a bit, but that's what COVID is sad. That's what we've, you know, we have to capture a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, you want all of that history, the good and the bad. Let's go to Hilbert. Lorraine, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good. What would you throw in the time capsule representing coronavirus?
You can't do a COVID capsule without the toilet paper debacle, can you?
Oh, of course.
That's
him.
Well, I mean... Toilet paper.
Oh, that's the sound effect of it going into the time capsule, Lorraine.
Noisy toilet. Noisy loo paper, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously controversial, Lorraine, because as much as toilet paper seems to be symbolic of the times, we still don't know if we're going to need to be hoarding it. So it's a tough one.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it does make the time capsule more valuable, though, if we actually put sought-after items inside it, doesn't it?
True.
But, yeah, definitely a good one, Lorraine. Toilet paper,
good on you, Lorraine.
At least you know where the toilet paper is if you need to exhume the remains.
Absolutely, under your barbecue.
It is the COVID capsule. Yes, a time capsule. sort of doing our best to capture what's going on with COVID-19.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're just throwing some things in the capsule to just capture every moment that we've experienced. So far, we've thrown in some toilet paper, the big stuff.
And some black gloves.
Yeah.
Let's go to Secret Harbour. Barry, g'day, mate. What would you throw into our COVID-19 time capsule?
Oh, guys, look, every ad that I've heard on the radio for the last, and TV, has in the front of it, these uncertain times.
Oh, yes. That phrase. Yep. Absolutely right.
You could be selling a lounge suite, Noggo, in these uncertain times.
It's
true.
We're all in this together.
Also, Barry, if we could throw the word unprecedented in there with it, that'd be brilliant.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's a good one, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You know who I'd like to see start that ad? A watchmaker in these uncertain times.
I thought you were going to say John Hughes.
All right. Thanks, Barry.
That's
we'll
going
in.
In
the capsule.
It's going in, but we're going to play the sound effects, right?
All right.
All right, here we go. Put it.
Wow.
Yeah, just hit the bottom, Baz.
Yeah, no expense spared here at the Mix 94.5 sound effects department.
In these uncertain times.
Good on you, Barry. All right, let's go to Maddington. Troy, what would you put in the COVID-19 time capsule?
Hey, guys. I think I would put a picture of Donald Trump with a bottle of bleach.
Ah, nice. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, the old disinfectant gate.
That's going in. Good stuff, Troy.
Beautiful, Troy.
Anything for Donald Trump.
Yeah. Nice contribution. Thanks, mate. Let's go to Mandra.
Good
day, Chris.
Mandra.
Hi.
What do you want to throw in the time capsule?
I was going to put gloves in, but I do a lot of cooking and I couldn't find any flour.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Flour's going
in. Hard to find.
Yeah, we're going to throw the flour in there. All those people doing a bit of baking.
Hopefully it's self-raising.
Weevils in
find
no
its
time.
Way out of there.
Thanks, Chris.
Good on you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. We'll throw your gloves in too, along with Maddie's. Well done. Let's go to Lehman. G'day, Mike.
Morning, guys.
Mike, what are you throwing in?
The bat signal.
The bat signal?
What's celebrating?
Because they think it started from bats.
Yeah, from the wet market. The bats from the wet market.
Oh, yeah, from the Batman putting it on the clouds for Commissioner Gordon to see.
That's the one.
Love
beautiful.
It.
It's in,
love
Mike.
It's in.
Love your thinking, mate.
Good on you, buddy. Let's go to Byford. Tanya, what would you put into the COVID-19 time capsule?
Hello, Tanya.
Tanya.
Hello.
G'day,
hi.
Tanya.
What are you throwing in the time capsule?
I'm going to throw in some rainbow-coloured wool and a crochet hook, and I'm going to continue to make frontline bears for everybody.
Oh, bless you,
sweet
Tanya.
Oh, good on you, Tanya. You've been busy.
Yeah, I think I've done about 10.
Well done. We'll throw one of those in the capsule right now. Well done. Good job.
Nice. Perfect. Soft landing for that, yes. Good on you, Tanya.
Well, not down the bottom, though. It's very hard crocheting.
Keep up the good work, Tanya.
Angela's in Beachborough. What are you throwing into our COVID-19 time capsule?
The onesie that I've been wearing to work from home.
I feel you, Angela. These pajama pants. I like to call them lounge pants.
Now, Angela, is it a onesie like a character or is it just your simple standard onesie there?
Unicorns.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Beautiful. Good on you, Angela.
Thank you.
Angela, good job. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Oh, that's in time, and that's in time.
This is in time.
Oh, my friends, people are getting creative whilst in isolation and lockdown, and we know art can be a great therapy, you know? Get your thoughts and feelings down on paper can be really cathartic.
Mm.
And 8-year-old Jolie from the United States has broken the internet with her song, which is a self-reflective and yearning ballad.
I wonder what's inside your butthole. I wonder what's inside your butthole. Maybe there's astronauts and maybe there's aliens all inside your butthole. What's inside your butthole? I always want to know what's inside your butthole. I always want to know what's inside your butthole.
She really wants to know.
She really wants to know what's inside your butthole.
Mm.
6 million over by now. People have watched and shared that particular offering from Jolie.
How old's Jolie?
She's eight.
Eight.
Eight. Mm. Go on.
The best thing about it for me was that her performance, her commitment to it, it was kind of like, if you get up and you do karaoke and you're not very good, it's okay as long as you sell it like you're Robbie Williams. Mm. She played that guitar, a little uke, like she was a hero.
Yes.
She loved it.
Yes. Well, look, it's a terrific effort. There's no doubt about it. Hayley Williams, whoever she is, do you know her?
Singer, yeah.
She's apparently nervous now about bringing her album out.
Oh, she really?
But on a serious note, if you are sitting there, all these have always got two sides. There's the light, funny side of an 8-year-old singing that. But if you are like Jolie wondering, do I have astronauts or aliens up my butthole?
Mm.
It may be time to do that test.
That might be.
Get a camera up there and see what's going on.
Might be the time to do it. Big time. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Elvis Presley.
Yep.
The king, right? And I think I've discovered his talent finally. Since my baby left me, will I find a new place to dwell? Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Love me tender, love me sweet. Never let me go. Oh, what a voice. Yes, Elvis Aaron Presley died in 1977 in August. Now, I was 7 years old.
Sure.
And I remember that as a news story.
Yep.
But I never really got the Elvis thing.
Okay.
You know, I had friends, my buddy, the Arachi family, the friends of my own age, they loved Elvis.
Mm.
They would always have those films on the TV. We never really watched it. I knew he had a great voice, but I didn't really get it, right? Yeah.
And that love goes on. I know people have done recent pilgrimages to Graceland.
Yes.
I'm so excited about Elvis, I can't even say it. Pilgrimage to Graceland, and it was the greatest day of their life.
Yeah, right. Mm.
So even years later, Maddie, you didn't, like after, you know, seven, you were young, but later on you didn't rediscover Elvis?
Well, look, Claire's and I were just talking about it. I've watched some of the live stuff from that famous comeback tour with the leather suit and
69,
everything.
Yeah.
And totally got him as a musician and as a singer.
Okay.
But didn't really get the rest of that kind of wow factor that people had.
So maybe you hadn't been exposed to it that much because you're sort of a Beatles man, aren't you?
Yeah, and we just wouldn't watch those films.
Yep.
But fast forward 42 years, whatever it is now, 43 years, and I'm sitting at home on Sunday and I'm flicking on the TV, sort of noodling on the guitar, just, you know, something to distract. And on comes this movie. Acapulco, look, here comes the sun. Acapulco, it's a day for fun. Yeah, 1963, Fun in Acapulco, right? And I watched it for about 10 minutes, and I turned to T, my partner, and went, oh, I get it.
Yeah, it just dawned on you.
I get
it. He's a talent.
This guy is awesome. Like, obviously, like, mega handsome, and he was very young at that point. He had that real sort of smouldering look.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that he was such a good actor and such a good comedian.
Oh, and part of everything, like, in so many films, like, my dad was a big Elvis fan, and I didn't really understand it either. But then a few years ago, they did that Wonder of You Elvis tour with the Perth Symphony Orchestra at the arena. And it was that comeback tour. So they played the footage of him in that suit.
Yeah,
I think it might have been 68 around there. And they did that performance. And I also walked out going, that was the best. Like, I only took Dad for a daddy-daughter date. It was just us hanging out to have some time together.
Right.
Mm.
But I absolutely loved it.
Oh, it was amazing. Here's some of the classic lines from Elvis films.
As long as you don't try to pay me off in cotton candy.
Excuse me. I seem to be bumping your binoculars.
You want to know something? On you, wet is my favorite color. Mm.
So corny, weren't they?
And he basically sings nearly, you know, throughout every movie. He doesn't have a lot of acting lines. And in Fun in Acapulco, he decides he's got a fear of heights because he's a former trapeze artist.
Yes, of course
and
he was.
He's let go of one of his mates and killed them. So he's got a fear of heights. And by singing at night for no pay, but so he can work in the pool as an attendant, so he can use the high diving board to conquer his fear of heights. Like, this is not a Ridley Scott.
There's nothing deep there.
Film here.
No, those films all look like they were made in 7 days.
Yeah,
like totally. Everyone just worked really hard. Totally. For
can
seven
I just
days,
tell you, Laurie and I have always loved watching Elvis movies, but we have a bit of a laugh at them, right? And yeah. You're right, his comic timing was actually pretty good,
really good.
But Colonel Tom Parker had Elvis make so many of these movies, which he didn't really want to do.
No,
but the money was so damn good. They did. They really crammed them in, and they did that thing that they did with the Carry On films, and they had a theme for every single one.
Yes.
So he was a plumber, or he was a race car driver, or he was the astronaut, or whatever he might have been.
Yeah.
Particularly, it was like, what are we doing next week, Colonel?
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to be Tarzan, you know, like
that's good ball.
But we love it. That's that vibe, you know. It's a bit like the old some of the old movies from those days.
Yes.
But the Elvis ones were the best ones put on. You have a bit of a laugh as well.
Oh, and it was that discovery of that it factor, which I didn't really get before.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
Shake that pelvis.
I've got a lot of films to catch up on.
You certainly have. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5. Now, what's been going on with COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, has affected all of us in some way, some way, shape or form, be it economically, keeping, staying away from work, or more importantly, staying away from family and those that you love.
Yep.
And it can affect us in things like this can affect you in different ways. And sometimes it sneaks up on you. And I found about 2.5 weeks ago, we were still on holidays. And I noticed, and you guys know me, I can be a bit obsessive about things sometimes. I've got a few tics and a few habits. I've got a shaky leg because I have excessive energy. But I'm generally a pretty optimistic soul.
Yes.
I don't generally get dark for very long.
Yeah,
so yeah, very calm.
I feel very lucky like that. So I noticed while I was on the break, for probably in about the middle of our 2 weeks off, I realised I had a churning stomach, and I got a bit of a sense of gut anyway, but I had a churning stomach and I felt like a little bit sick most of the time. You know, it would come and go. It was quite weird, like this nauseous kind of feeling. And I realised after a while, I went, you know what? I was checking what I was eating and drinking, and I went, you know what? I've got a bit of anxiety here.
Yeah.
It was that recognition, and I worked through it by myself, which I generally can do quite well. And then I ended up having to talk to Laurie, my wife, about it. And I said, I've recognised that there's a bit of anxiety there. And we sort of identified a few things. We ran through the diet and all that kind of stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And I went, you know, there's nothing wrong with just admitting that you've got it. And that's the first step to digging yourself out of something like that.
Absolutely.
I wasn't sitting around being morose or anything, but I realised that I was actually watching way too much news about COVID-19.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one guilty of that in the last few weeks.
No. Well, it's hard. You know, you can't really avoid it. And the thing with anxiety is if you've never suffered from anxiety, you know, that's fantastic, because those who do suffer, it's such a broad range. You can have small anxiety, and then you can have anxiety that is completely debilitating on your life. And if you've never suffered through it, it can be hard to understand what it feels like. But also, it can just creep up on you. You might be someone who's never experienced anxiety before, and suddenly you're getting those symptoms. Like you say, that feeling in the gut.
Yeah.
It's not the same for everyone, but I feel that when I get it. It's that feeling of like something terrible's about to happen, but I don't know what.
Bit of impending doom, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said yesterday, I took this very seriously. I still wear gloves to the supermarket. Probably, you know, that's going to, slowly fall away. But you remember right at the beginning, and we took my stepdaughter out of school quite early, I was overwhelmed, I think, when we were speaking to that wonderful woman in Italy and what they were going through. And I felt a real sense of, like, doom.
Actually, that chat really did affect you.
It did,
talk about it at the time.
Big time. And we took my stepdaughter out of school early, and she's back now, and I feel much better now. But it was definitely like something brooding within me that I couldn't control.
Yeah, I felt like the height of this thing, you know, the stomach thing was bad. It was a very noisy noisy stomach as well. But it was also, it was keeping me up at night. And like, I'd fall asleep and then get up. And I know we all experience this sometimes. And we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so that can affect you as well. But I was finding that if I was waking up, I just couldn't get back to sleep because mind was overactive.
Yeah.
I also realised, and this may sound silly because we all look at our phones too much these days, but I was looking at my phone so many times.
Yeah.
And I reckon I was, I don't know, doing stupid things like checking my bank balances or something. And that was it was ridiculous. Maybe 30 times in a day, I reckon I realised.
Just to distract yourself.
Just to distract myself, and maybe, I don't know, trying to comfort myself and see how much money that did or didn't have. It just seemed ridiculous. And as we've talked about, we're very lucky that we're still employed.
Yeah.
You know, there's other people in so much worse a position. So that first recognition factor is the best. You recognise you've got a problem. So then speaking out and not just dealing with it by yourself, I feel, is the next best step. I'm no expert.
Oh, yeah.
So Laurie
goes, super important, Claire. Yeah. Telling other people what you're going through, and I've discussed this many times with friends and family, that part of it is not always wrestling with what you're feeling, like accepting the fact that I feel a bit anxious today and this might last 20 minutes, it might last the whole day.
Yeah.
But just going with the feeling. I often feel that the energy I put into wrestling with it and trying to fight that actually leaves me worse off.
Can make
off.
It worse.
And, yeah. and look, we make the point every time we have this conversation, it's so easy to go, gee, I need to do some exercise. I need to, you know, I'm feeling a little bit fat or whatever. And it's, you know, mental health is no different to body health.
Yeah.
It's something that has to be worked on. It's something that has to be accepted. And it's something that you can feel free to talk about.
And spot on, Matty. You know what else I did? I went out and Laurie said to me the other morning, because I realised I'd stopped doing any exercise.
Yeah.
I had not done any exercise in those 2 weeks. So we went for a walk at 7 o'clock. And of course, we had the benefit of a beautiful Sunday.
Yeah.
You know? Went for a walk, a long walk, a fast walk. I put my phone away and didn't look at it for an entire day, which made me feel better straight away.
Yeah.
And also, just actually breathing properly, that really helps.
Yeah,
that's not just breathing to stay alive. That's deep breathing
and
taking the time to think about that kind of thing. But, you know, I really feel for people who go through, whether it's Black Dog or whether it's just an anxiety all the time, I really feel for them. Because it's
debilitating.
Probably since my marriage breakup, which is a long time ago, 15 years ago now, this is the first time I've felt like that and the gut was really affected. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great you've talked about it. And you know, for those who are suffering, we know it's hard. Reach out. There are plenty of people to talk to and try and help you through. And there's different tips online for lots of different things work for different people. But yeah, you're not alone, that's for sure.
Yeah, brilliant. And you know the other good thing?
What?
My ex-wife and I get on like a house and fire now. How good's that?
That is great. As it should be.
Supreme optimist. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Oh, look, guys, I'm prepping myself because I have got something for you that is one of the best things you're going to see this year.
Wow.
Okay. Right.
It's a big call, I know, but it's a meteor shower.
Really?
Are you excited about that?
No,
are you guys meteor people?
I am.
We're pretty excited.
I'm someone who gets really, I'm very interested in things that happen in the sky. So I want to know when there's something happening with the moon or if I'm going to see a comet or if there's something happening. But apparently visible all across Australia, particularly in a dark location, you could see up to 50 shooting stars in an hour. This is the Eta Aquarids meteor shower. It's part of Halley's Comet, which... Yeah, it last passed Earth in 1986, and it's not going to return again until 2061, 2062.
This is it's refuse. It's dust trail.
Yeah, it's everything just falling apart from Halley's Comet, and we're going to see it in a beautiful sky show of 50 shooting stars. But here's the catch.
Yeah.
It's happening at like 2 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, so you'll be up early?
No, I'm out.
Like, Nat, do you find I do this all the time? Like, there's plenty of things around the world that I go, it's only going to, you're not going to see it again for 50 years. You should probably be a part of it. And you want to see the beauty that the world has to offer. But quite often it means getting out from under your doona.
Yeah.
It's a commitment,
and
isn't it?
Stepping.
And
then I never do it.
The sky has been amazing. I told you, Venus, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn are all in a line at the moment. And you can, even through my binoculars, Venus looks pretty cool. I mean, I can't really make anything out. But I would love to get up for this. But the shameful thing is, I know I'll go home, I'll tell Steppy D about it, I'll say, we're getting up to watch it, and then I won't. But I would get up to watch a bloody, you know, Rostov versus Manchester City game at 3 a.m.
No, mate, you'd watch a replay of the FA Cup final from 86.
How terrible is that?
Look, to be honest, I'd get up tomorrow at 2 a.m., but someone's got my binoculars, so... Oh.
They are working a treat, can I just say? And we've only dropped them twice.
I think so, but they work in one eye.
Oh, they work well,
I mean, you're fascinated by this stuff. That's why I gave you the binoc, so you could have a bit of a look.
I do, and I actually will get up tomorrow morning, but my fear is that the weather will ruin our show, but I'll still get up.
But I love
we're going to get a bit of cloud cover.
Yeah. Hey, see, I love that Matt's got the lingo. He even said, oh, that's a dust trail. Like, is he an astronaut or something? What's going on there?
Well, and indeed, if you miss this one in October, the second round of Halley's Comet's refuse can be seen, but this is a far better show.
Don't tell me that, because then I definitely won't get up. I'll be like, oh, it's okay, I'm missing
this
one. There's another one in October.
You keep using your refuse. Well, it's just rubbish.
No, I'm going to wait till 2061 and see the real thing.
I'll be 90. There you go. Won't be able to see a thing.
We'll still be on air.
Won't be able to hear it. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
94.5.
Some sad news has come through that the keyboards player Dave Greenfield from the English band The Stranglers has passed away of coronavirus. COVID-19 at the age of 71. He tested positive and we've lost him, which is very sad.
We're talking Golden Brown.
Golden Brown.
One of my favourite
songs.
Yeah,
well, he actually wrote that song. He was a keyboards player. He wrote that song about heroin all those years ago. A little taste of it here because it's such a beautiful song.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down with my mind she runs.
Yeah, very sad. He was a real talent, and the members of the band, including Hugh Cornwall, who hasn't been with the band for 30-odd years, the lead singer there, just passing on their condolences and saying how sad it was. He did have some other things going on, heart problems and the like. He had a prolonged stay in hospital, but he has passed away, and it's got another one. It's got singer-songwriter John Prine recently, and now this guy.
Very
sad. And the Stranglers, one of the great punk bands who became closer to mainstream with that stuff, that album Moral Sculpture in the 80s, but just such great songs as well.
That Claire's, Matt and Kimber catch-up was for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.